bless His name. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek, choose to be a Christian. I was watching Sawyer as he went up to the piano just a few minutes ago, and my hands just shaking. I guess it was about 14 years ago. He was in the hospital, not knowing if he's going to make his last next breath. Here he is, singing for God's glory. We serve a good God. Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter number 10. We'll be reading verses 1 through verse number 9, Numbers chapter number 10. The Bible says, Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, they shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. If ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord God, and he shall be saved from your enemies." Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your spirit that we've felt here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the great opportunity, the privilege it is to be a Christian. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd have preeminence here tonight. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, Father, from ourselves. Father, I pray that we get our minds focused upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Numbers chapter number 10. When we know Numbers, it's the fourth book of the law, of the five books of what we call the Torah, Moses' writings. It was written, many believe, in Moses' final year. His final year of life was when the book of Numbers was written. In the book of Numbers, we see probably a key word. One of the most common words that's used in the book of Numbers is the word wilderness. And that's where Moses is writing this book. He's writing it in the wilderness. And God is using Moses to write this commandment, to write these statements to guide God's children in the wilderness. We find here there's two generations in the book of Moses. One generation was that generation that God delivered from Egypt in Exodus. He brought them out from bondage and slavery. He leads them to the wilderness. But because of their lack of disobedience and their lack of faith in Christ and not trusting Christ, they had this death sentence that all adults over the age of 20 would die in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua. And God raises up another generation. And this generation, they're in the wilderness, but God's going to take them into that promised land that He promised them. Our Lord, He uses a means of communication to Israel, and that's what we find in Numbers chapter number 10. And in Moses, we find that he's communicating to God's children. He's trying to direct God's children. He's trying to lead God's children to the promised land. And we find in Numbers chapters 1 through 10, it's obedience. They're listening to God. They're trusting God. They're following God. Then you come to chapters 11 through chapters number 26, and then there's disobedience. They begin to bow up on God and bow their neck like we do so many times. But I'm thankful in chapters 26 through 36, we find there's that renewal of obedience that God brings them back so gently to the fold, and they're following God once again. In Numbers chapter 10, God tells Moses to take these trumpets or to take a piece of silver, a solid piece of silver. And we know that silver, that metal of silver, it's the picture of the work of redemption in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful I'm redeemed in Christ. But he takes a solid piece of silver and to form and to fashion and to make two trumpets. And it was a way that God was going to communicate to Moses through these trumpets to the children of God. And we see here that's exactly what happens in verse number 1 through verse number 9 in Numbers chapter number 10. I want to say tonight, before we get to the message, that God uses a significant means to carry out a message to His people. He does that to convey this message by calling all the assembly together with the sound of a trumpet. He's telling the assembly, the nation of Israel, that you need to hear this sound, that you need to hear the sound of the trumpet. And when everyone hears the sound, and when everyone assembles themselves together, they have a decision to make. They have a decision to accept the call and respond to the call, and an opportunity to hear that trumpet sound and respond obediently. You know, it wasn't just for a select group, I notice in the text. The Bible says in verse 3, for all the people. It was for everyone. Everyone was to hear the sound of the trumpet. Everyone had that opportunity to respond, and everyone had that opportunity to be obedient. It was a call for everyone, a choice they had to make to respond, and they had to put that choice into action. You see, when this trumpet was blown, everyone had a decision to make. God uses this significant means to convey the sound of a trumpet, but I also notice He used a significant means to convey the message of His Son on a tree. You know, it was a significant means. It was the same call, just like this sound of the trumpet. You see, for Moses, the work was not going to be easy. For Moses, he'd have to find a solid piece of silver. He would have to find the men that could form and fashion a trumpet. He would have to search, and he'd have to seek the means of obtaining this silver. It would cost Moses. It was going to cost Moses time and effort, and it was going to cost Moses to seek and to search for this silver. But let me say, it would cost God the very same thing. It would cost God His Son to be placed on a tree at the cross of Calvary. This was an act. This act was significant more than any other act. It was an act that was to take attention and to be worthy to be paid attention to. The Bible says that but God committed His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for that song that we sing there on the cross, where He died for my sins, giving His life this poor wonder to win. You see, that was a significant act that God did to convey a message to you and I that His Son was the Savior of all mankind. Jesus Christ, He was. He was God. He was full man and full God. He was God the Son, God the Creator. It was Jesus dying for sinful man. And He knew all my failures, and He knew all my faults. And despite all my wickedness and ungodly, He knew me, yet Jesus Christ loved me. And He died on that cross, and it was a message that God was giving to all. And just like the sound of the trumpet, we all tonight have the opportunity to hear and to respond to that gospel call. I notice that this significant means on the cross that time is measured by it. Not only time is measured by it, but our life, our joy, and our peace, it depends upon it. Not only time and life and joy and peace, but our eternal home will be determined by it. Isaiah 45:22, the Bible says, "Look to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else." See, God conveys a message to Moses for all to hear through the sound of the trumpet. And God's conveying a message to you and I for all to hear of His Son on the tree, that Jesus Christ can save. That Jesus Christ can save. That Jesus Christ can save. I see here this sound of the trumpet. It was a message to all. And it's a message that they had to respond. And this message, they all had to make a decision. This trumpet we find in verses 3 through 9, they were distinct sounds. They were different sounds for different circumstances. They would blow the trumpet and cause the alarm. And each alarm, each sound would mean something different. And oftentimes in the Bible, we'll find as you read your Bible that the sound of a trumpet, it's a type and it pictures the voice of God or the Word of God. I was thinking there about Moses on Mount Sinai when God tells him to make a trumpet. Moses hears the voice of God and the sound of a trumpet. John on the Isle of Patmos, he hears his Lord and Savior, and it said his Lord's voice was that as a sound of a trumpet. You see, the sound of a trumpet, it's the symbol of a majestic, of a all-powerful, a all-guiding, the voice of God. And we find that's what God's doing. He's using this sound of trumpet to direct and to guide and to lead and to help His people here as they go through the wilderness. There was no means of communication. Can you think about trying to lead millions of people? No intercoms, no radios, no emergency broadcast systems. It was just going to be through the sound of a trumpet. I began to think about that and study the sound of the trumpet and how God was using His to lead His people through the wilderness and how it can relate to you and I tonight. How it would be helpful and how we could relate as a church and as individuals here in 2020. You know, it's not written to us tonight. This text, it's not written to you and I as Gentiles, but I'm thankful it's written for us. As we read the Word of God, we can see how it relates to you and I. The sound of the trumpet. I notice, first of all, this sound when they heard the trumpet call was to awaken. I think that's what He's telling us tonight as members of Fletcher First Baptist Church, of those that stand profess to be saved and born again and say that we choose to be a Christian. I believe He's wanting to tell us tonight that we need to awaken to some things. Listen to Romans 13:11. And knowing that the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You see this sound of the trumpet? He's telling His people here in Numbers chapter number 10 that you need to awaken. You need to be alert. You need to be awakened, number one, to your sins. You know, I think, Pastor, my prayer life over the past several months I found it's changed. You know, I think so many times and we come to the altar and we pray for things, and we should. We pray for desires of our hearts, and we ask God to help and God to lead and God to give, and we should. You know, we've been praying for this youth rally coming up in April, and we should. We pray for God to save our children and to grow our church and to hear our prayers and to give us that what we need. And I believe we should. But I found myself, more than any other time in my life, when I come to pray, whether it's in my study or whether it's here at the altar or whether it's by my bed at home, that God would cleanse me. Cleanse me from my sins. And see, what I believe when we're cleansed from our sins, those things that we pray for He'll automatically give. See, when we get clean as a church, when we get clean as individuals, and when we get clean as a body of Christ, we won't have to pray for revival. God will send revival. We won't have to pray for God to save our children. He will save our children. We won't have to ask for a manifestation of the move of God. He'll have it in our presence. Begin to think, Pastor, about we support him in our missions. Brother David Gibbs Jr., founder of the CLA, the Christian Law Association. He was telling a story about him representing Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff, many of you know, a great preacher of times past, a man of God, a powerful preacher, a great evangelist, a great pastor, did great works down there in Corpus Christi, Texas. And God told him to open up an orphanage. So Lester Roloff, he goes and he starts getting, I believe it's young women. He gets women, young girls to come and he feeds them and he clothes them and he houses them and he preaches the gospel to them. And he didn't care about state laws. He didn't care about all the rules and the red tape and the regulations he's supposed to go through and all the state laws. God told him to do it, so that's what he did. The state of Texas tried to run him. They took him to court. They tried to run his ministry and to bankrupt the church. And David Gibbs Jr. was representing Lester Roloff in court. He says that they were getting demolished. David Gibbs, he said this staff of attorneys from the state was just eating them up in court. They were losing terrible. It looked like they were going to be having a ruling against them. And he said one morning in the hotel, Lester Roloff called David Gibbs about 3 o'clock in the morning and said, David, get down to my room. So he hurried, got dressed, went down to his room. He said, David, we're getting beat in court. We're going to lose the case. It's going to bankrupt the church and we're going to lose our ministry. We got to do something. He said, you get in that corner and I'm going to get in this corner and we're going to get clean. David Gibbs, he started praying. See, he prayed for 20, 30 minutes and he heard the man of God on this side of the corner asking God to cleanse him and forgive him, and he's pouring his heart out for him. And David said that he wasn't going to get up until Brother Lester Roloff got up, because he didn't want to think that he was cleaner than him. And he said that God told him that was pride. He needed to get clean of pride. He said after about 2 hours of them pouring their hearts out to God, the man of God finally got up and said, David, are you clean? He said, I'm as clean as I know to be. He said, now we're going to pray that God will hear our prayers. He said they prayed for 2 hours to get clean and about 30 seconds for God to answer the prayers. This was Lester Roloff's prayer. He said, turn the attorneys against themselves and make the judge sick. That was his prayer. Got dressed. He said at 9:30 they were in court. The judge opens the court sessions. He asks David Gibbs if he's ready to proceed. David Gibbs says yes. He asks this counsel if they're ready to proceed. And they said, no, we're not. And he said, judge asked him what the problem was. He said, I don't know what the problem is, judge. He said, last night before we dismissed, every one of us was in full agreement. We knew that we were supposed to do. He said, now we're not in agreement. And we don't even think this needs to be in court. He said the judge called the counsel to the desk and he said, do you realize the jury is in the box? They're hearing you argue. And the lawyer said, we don't understand. We just can't get into agreements. And he said, Lester Roloff sat there and said, David, you want me to tell you why they can't? He said, no, you better be quiet, because the next thing you'll be saying is the judge needs to go to the hospital because he's fixing to get sick. But see, the prayer wasn't about God answering and hearing their prayers and doing the great miracle. The key to the prayer was him and Lester Roloff getting clean. God's blowing the trumpet. He's telling us to hear the sound of the trumpet, church. We need to awaken to our sins. We need to awaken to our surroundings. Young people, old people, mom and dads alike, we need to guard ourselves. We need to keep ourselves. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be sober. That's a clear mind. Vigilant. That means to be like a watchman, ready, on guard. We need to be awakened to our surroundings because of the adversary. In Psalms 91, he comes to God's children as that fowler. That fowler is secretive and sneaky and quiet. In Corinthians, he comes not only as a fowler, but he comes as the angel of light, that one that's appearing glorious and grand and attractive. And in Peter, he comes as a roaring lion. We need to be on guard and we need to awaken for our sins and for our surroundings. It's the sound of the trumpet. Vigilant for our families. On guard for our church. We need to awaken. Number two, I think the sound of the trumpet means we need to advance. Notice what he says in verse number 5. He says, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. Verse number 10, or verse number 9. He says, and when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered for the Lord God. Ye shall be saved from your enemies. What he's telling us is we need to advance. This one group of people on the east side, that trumpet would blow. They would start marching. On the south side, the trumpet would blow. They would start marching. And God's telling them, you need to continue to march on. I was thinking there just a few minutes ago, our pastor's life verse, I hope it's okay to share this, preacher, Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God's telling us, church, we need to advance. We need to march on. Joshua, he comes, a few chapters later, he comes to Jericho. It was a city that was fortified, a city that could not be conquered, a city that was on watch. They were on high alert. Rahab said, we've heard what God had did for you there crossing the Red Sea. They were aware that God's children were come, and God tells Joshua to use a method of warfare that absolutely makes no sense at all. He tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, this warfare is going to require you to trust me. It's going to require you to march. It's going to require you to advance. It's going to require God's people to listen and to trust and obey. And we're going to march around this city on the seventh day. We're going to do it 7 times. We're going to blow the trumpet. We're going to shout. And that city that's impenetrable, that city that you can't win against, the walls that can't be broken or defeated. And the Bible says in Joshua 6:20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. You see, for us to march on, just like Joshua, it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. Israel, they were going to be wide open for attack as the enemy looked down upon them as they marched around the city. For us to advance, it's going to have to take courage on our part. Not only courage, but I say it's going to have to take endurance. Can you imagine marching around a city 7 times in one day? The endurance. It's going to have to be patience and persistence is what I'm trying to say that it was going to have to take. Courage. Endurance. And I think it's also had to see their helplessness. You see, they were helpless. Their helplessness is revealed in looking at that wall for 6 days. Seeing how massive that wall was and how impenetrable that wall was. And it was going to take that something outside their control that would only come by God to march on. They had to realize that this battle was bigger than they were. I believe like Israel, if we're going to advance the cause of Christ, we're going to have courage and endurance and realize that God's on our side, and if anything comes, it's going to be because of Him and for Him. Psalms 21:1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. from whence cometh my help? There's a promise in these verses. Verse number 9, God promised them is when you advance, when you go to war, He said, when I hear the sound of the trumpet, I will remember you and your enemies shall be yours. He says, you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, this, and they shall be remembered before the Lord God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. I was reading an article this past week. They were their Bible, fundamental Baptist churches that has banned and removed from their songbook a song that we teach our kids to sing. They say this song needs to be more multicultural. It needs to be more inclusive. They say this song is offensive in many ways. This is the song. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward in the battle. See the banners go. They've removed it from their songbooks because they said it was offensive. You know, if we're going to please God, we're going to have to advance the cause of Christ. We're going to have to advance the cause for our children. We're going to have to advance the cause for our church. We're going to have to advance this cause for our country and the cause of Christ. I noticed the sound of the trumpet. It was to awaken the people. It was to cause the people to advance. But thirdly, I see it was to cause the people to assemble. Notice our text in verse 3. It says, and when ye shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, this trumpet, it would be a call to assemble. Not only a call to come to the house of God, not only a call to come to where they're to worship, no matter their differences, no matter their personal preferences, no matter their likes, despite their personal desires or their personalities, this sound of the trumpet, it brought all of God's people together. Not only at the house of God, but I believe the sound of the trumpet brought His children together in unity. See, the Bible teaches us that there's one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, there's one baptism, there's one faith, there's one God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's calling God's children to assemble. Not only at the house of God, not only at the place of worship, but I believe in unity, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Now I know there's only one day of Pentecost when we're saved. We have that indwelling Spirit that lives inside of us. But in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they heard a sound as a rushing wind. It filled the house and all were filled with the Holy Ghost. When? When they were all in one accord and in one place. You see, all God's children at that time, they had one passion, they had one motive, and they had one desire. There was no bickerness. There was no, they're butting heads. They were all in unity with oneness in the house of God. No limits. No boundaries. No matter what we think, God can do exceedingly above because they were in unity in oneness. Began to think, preacher, what would happen if this body of believers got hooked up together and got hooked up to God? Boundless opportunities. Peter began to preach. 3,000 souls got saved. Beginning of this week, Pastor, we had a precious young girl, Sister Ashley, Sunday morning, got gloriously born again. Last night, little Gavin, 10 years old, came up and asked God to save his soul. That was 2 in 1 week. But could you imagine if we came together in unity, hooked up with God? I mean, He's going to do it boundlessly. More than we can ask or think. He's calling us to assemble. Preached last week on that thought of strong grace in Acts chapter 4. How God gives grace to all, but there's just a few that He gives that great grace, that strong grace. And in Acts 4, it tells us that they received that great grace when they were in one heart and of one soul. It's a call to assembly. One day and one day soon, I believe there's going to be assembly like no other. Assembly like none before. Assembly like the gathering of all gatherings. It could be tonight. This assembly, it could be before the message is over. It could be before you lay your head on the pillow or you get up in the morning. This assembly is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will ever be with the Lord." There's a great day coming. The assemblies of all assemblies, when we hear the trump of God, He calls those dead in Christ home first, and we which are alive will meet them in the air. What a great assembly that is. But the sad part is, some of you tonight won't be in that assembly. When you hear that trump, that sound, it'll be too late. He's calling us, church, to awaken. He's calling us to advance. He's calling us to assemble in unity, to come together, to put aside our foolishness and our differences for the cause of Christ. And I believe lastly, He's calling it for an alarm. We hear this sound of a trumpet, it should be an alarm to you and I. Isaiah chapter 58. God's telling Isaiah in chapter 8, 51. He says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show thy people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." God's telling Isaiah, "Isaiah, you cry aloud, you cry aloft, you spare not, and like a trumpet, and tell my people on the surface they may be devoted to me. On the surface they love me and seek me and pray to me, and they have a reputation from other nations of a nation of righteousness. You fast for me. You ask me to answer your prayers. You fast to hear your supplications." And God tells Isaiah to tell them that it is enough. It's enough. He said, because you fast for the wrong reason. He said, when you fast, you do it out of ritual. When you fast, you don't do it with a right heart. When you pray for me to meet your needs so you can consume it upon your own lust. And God says, no more. Tell them, cry aloud with the sound of the voice of a trumpet, that that's enough. You see, it's an alarm to you and I that our motives must be right. The reason we come to church must be right. The reason we pray and seek God must be right. It's an alarm for God's children. Alarm. And tonight, just as Isaiah, God tells Isaiah, He said, "Cry aloud, spare not. Tell them, lift up thy voice, show them our transgressions and the sins of the house of Jacob." Tonight, I don't have to tell you your sins. There's one that's doing that a better job than I can. That's the Holy Ghost. He's already pinpointed what you need to repent of. It's an alarm. What very thing, what very sin, what very thought you need to ask for forgiveness of. Isaiah in 58, he's lifting up his voice like the sound of a trumpet. He's telling a nation, we need to stop our sins of commission. Those sins that we actively, willingly do, we go out and commit. And we need to stop our sins of omission. Those things that we should do and we neglect and then we don't do. Disobedience to this trumpet. Disobedience to His voice. Disobedience to this call. Do you hear the sound of the trumpet? I'm going to ask Missy to come. I'm going to ask the church to stand. This is what the Lord told me to do tonight. Church, we need to awaken. Church, we need to advance the cause of Christ. Church, we need to assemble in unity and oneness for the cause of Christ. and it's an alarm. To repent of our sins before it's too late. The sound of the trumpet. Whatever your need is tonight, whatever God's spoken to you about, it's not too late. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your goodness, for your mercy. Father, for giving us a space of grace one more time to awaken out of our sleep, to forgive us of our sin, to hear our prayer. Father, to encourage us for the cause of Christ. Lord, have your way tonight. Father, I pray that you'd search our hearts and seek our hearts and reveal those things, Father, we need to come and ask forgiveness of. Lord, there may be one here tonight that's never heard the gospel call, the sound of the trumpet, Father, to be saved. I pray this would be the night, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, we're thankful that we have that promise that one day we'll meet our loved ones. We'll meet you in the air. But God, if you tarry, if you wait, I pray you'd find us faithful. We ask you to help us, Lord. Be with us and hear our prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.